Some companies are exploring alternative methods of increasing our nation's meat supply, but unfortunately, instead of sourcing it fresh from a farm, they're turning to white coats in a lab instead. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with all the appetite-killing details after this.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life. If you keep using Yahoo,
you consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to Start Mail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com.
The FDA has now approved three companies to produce and sell lab-grown meat. Instead of getting their meat from a cow or a pig, they put cells in a dish and grow it themselves. Feeling grossed out yet? Well, one of these startups called Mission Barns extracts fatty tissue from pigs, adds protein and sugars, and then sticks it in an incubator for 2 weeks to grow. If this process seems unnatural to you, that's because it is. I don't know about you, but I'd rather get my meat from a pasture than a lab. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, opposing all things artificial, including artificial intelligence. Join us at realisgood.org.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger, and they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Dr. Catherine Albrecht here. So happy to be with you on this wintry afternoon. It is bright and sunny here in Michigan, where it is normally overcast and miserable. And I'm attributing this, honestly, to a prayer that I prayed a week and a half ago for a little more sun around here. My college-age son said, it's so depressing in Michigan. We're actually not originally from here. He said, winters in Michigan are so incredibly depressing. I wish it was sunnier here. And I thought, quantum prayer, which I've been talking about a lot on the show, it's so effective. I could probably just wish for more sun and just we would get it. And here we are with what should be blizzards and tons of snow. And every day, with the exception of one single day, I believe it was Saturday when it actually snowed and snowed a lot, we have had blue skies and sun. I'm looking out my window yet again at another clear blue sky, not a cloud in it, not a single bit of overcast haze. It is beautiful. It's sunny, and the sun is just streaming onto all of the barren trees out here with no leaves on them. But boy, are they bright, brightly lit up and sunny. So I'm not going to take full credit for this, but it's pretty cool. And one of the things I want to talk about today is the nature of reality itself. Could it possibly be that me, one single person, could pray for sun and it would actually become sunnier? Could it be that you could pray for your weather in your whatever region you're in? Maybe you're down in South Florida and it's really hot sometimes, and oftentimes maybe it's muggy. Could it be that we have the ability through our prayers to actually change things on that level, on that scale? Not just things like, hey, I hope the outcome of my test, in my case, it was a sonogram, there we go, a sonogram to look at something that was suspiciously like it might be a return of breast cancer. And I prayed, and the outcome turned out great. Mary, who was on our show, on this show recently, talking about her dog and some other situations, she actually had what she thought might have been a stroke. And this was just a couple of days ago. I took her into the emergency room, and we prayed that same kind of quantum prayer, which was, Lord, we don't know the spinning coin toss right now, what is going on in her brain, in the same way I didn't know what was going on in my breast. But let's pray really hard and ask the Lord that when that coin flip is knocked on, you know, flattened onto the table under the palm of your hand, and you lift up your hand to look, that it will say, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with her brain. And that wound up happening. They said, there's nothing there. No stroke, no sign of damage. And she's now able to move on with her life without a whole lot of stroke damage. So is it possible? All right, here's what I want to, and I want to connect this to a story today on the nature of time, that is it possible that we are affecting our reality through our prayers, our thoughts, our daily, just what we place our attention on, our hearts on, and our consciousness towards? Could it be? Well, I am coming to believe that it does, that it is, that it's true, that our prayers, and I've not been able to find this outcome without prayer. I've not been able to go, boy, I really wish this, and how did it actually happen? So I don't believe that even if I could, it would be a good thing. But to humbly come before the Lord and say, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, which is what Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed. If it is possible that this cup could pass from me, that is my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Father, be done. And that is the model for our prayer. So if you've got a test that is up in the air and you're not sure what the outcome is going to be, if you have symptoms of something and you're not sure whether it is the worst possible outcome or maybe something benign, then pray. Because it is, my experience, incredibly effective. Like, are they going to have the tires that I need? Is the exit going to come up here soon enough, even though it's been a couple miles since I've been able to get off the freeway, now that my car needs to get off the freeway? Am I going to be able to drive through this blinding snowstorm? Can I pray for sun and have the snow actually cease? And the answer is yes to all of those. I've experienced them all. Now, that doesn't mean that everything I pray for just happens by any stretch, but it does mean that when I cry out, Daddy, Abba, Father, to the Lord, and in, I would say, almost desperation, like there's an element of severe need that distinguishes my prayers that get answered from my prayers that don't. If it's just something I want, kind of, you know, doesn't really matter either way, but this is what I want, those don't always turn out. But if it is something that I desperately need that has to do with someone's health or safety or well-being, then to my astonishment, those prayers actually are getting answered. All right, now, I've talked before about this. It's kind of been, I've been on a roll with this for the last couple months, talking about quantum prayer because of quantum physics. Quantum physics, if you've missed any of those shows, is the subatomic particle level physics that is in the tiny, tiny, tiny range that, you know, we're talking like photons and quarks and tiny, tiny things. Qubits actually is what they call them when they put them into a quantum computer. But they operate very differently from our classical physics, as regular listeners know. In our classical physics, yesterday came before today, tomorrow will come next. If you drop something, it's going to fall. And everything has a cause and effect, and we can pretty much just rely on the basic laws and rules of physics that we've learned throughout our lifetime to hold steady and constant and be pretty predictable. The quantum world, however, operates in a completely different way, and scientists, quantum physicists, have been studying this and having their minds blown since probably about 100 years ago now. It's been about 100 years that quantum physics has been boggling our brains. And today there's a story out. Of course, I don't have it right in front of me. There we go. All right. Is time, all right, this blew my mind. Is time a fundamental part of reality? time. So that again, in our classical physics reality, yesterday came before today and tomorrow will come next. And we were born in whatever year we were born and we'll die whatever year we die. And things move along at a pretty steady pace, right? You can look at the hand on a clock and it's going to tick, tick, tick. And it pretty much ticks at the same rate all the time. In fact, you can even have atomic clocks that can measure that down to the, you know, millionth of a second, I think. So, of course, time is a fundamental part of reality. What are you talking about? But according to this article and according to the physicists out there, actually, time is another one of those things that we need to rethink. So I've been talking lately about the nature of reality. And for me, it boils down to the fact that the only thing I can absolutely rely on dependably is God's word. It has never let me down, never failed, never been wrong. And the times that I've thought it was wrong, I've later found out I was wrong and it was right. So that is the one arbiter of truth that I know that I can rely on, I can depend on, I can turn to. Everything else seems to be in flux. All right, let me read you from this article. Is time a fundamental part of reality? A quiet revolution in physics suggests not. This is research led by Florian Neukart of Leiden University. All right, let me read this. Time feels like the most basic feature of reality. Seconds tick, days pass, and everything from planetary motion to human memory seems to unfold along a single irreversible direction. We are born and we die in exactly that order. We plan our lives around time, measure it obsessively, and experience it as an unbroken flow from past to future. It feels so obvious that time moves forward that questioning it can seem almost pointless. And yet, for more than a century, physics has struggled to say what exactly time is. This struggle is not philosophical nitpicking. It sits at the heart of some of the deepest problems in science. All right, I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. I'm going to toss out my phone number because I would like for you to text me. I'm going to ask you something coming up on the other end of this break. And so that number is 877-536-1360. I want to ask if you've ever experienced a break in time, because I have. Stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. He'll be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help.
And you know what? There's times you have to wait. There are times you're just sitting back going, okay, how much longer am I going to have to wait? But the Lord always, always comes through. He may not do it on our timing, and that brings me to the topic of time that we're talking about, because His time and our time are not the same. God's timing is perfect. Our timing is often quite impatient, but He exists outside of time and space. And so that gets us into a whole trippy thing of what exactly is time and space. Well, let me get back to what I was reading here. And then I open up the phone lines and open up the chat line, I guess, because I have a question I'm going to ask you in just a moment. In fact, let me go ahead and ask the question. Have you ever had the feeling that you're doing something and an hour goes by and you look at the clock and only 5 minutes have gone by, or maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and you know it's been longer than 10 or 15 minutes because you have done so much? And we have a pretty good instinctive feel for what it feels like when time passes. We might not have it exactly right, but usually if an hour goes by, we're pretty close to feeling like it's an hour. You ever had the experience, and I just want to toss this out there, because when I've talked to people in real life, well, not that you're not in real life, but when I've talked to people face-to-face and asked this question, most people that I talk to go, yeah, you know, I have had that feeling. Okay, now here's the other weird part. So you're living your life, you're doing whatever you're doing. You look at the clock, it's, I don't know, 2 p.m. and an hour goes by, you look at the clock and it's 2:15. And you're like, wait a minute, wait, that couldn't have been 15 minutes. There's no way that was 15, that was an hour. And then what always happens to me, at least, is another 10 minutes go by, and now it's 3:10. It's like, hang on. In the next 10 minutes, time accelerates and expands and fast forwards by a full hour. And I'm right back on track with what it feels like it should have been. But it didn't flow correctly, right? Now, I've also had the opposite experience. I think this one is maybe explainable by just unpleasant things. Sometimes when you're waiting for something, like a watch pot never boils, or you're waiting in a waiting room for the doctor to call you in, or you're waiting for something else, and it feels like an interminable wait. I used to work at Save-On Drugs? Are they even still around? That was years ago. My very first job in Southern California was as a cashier. Well, actually, it was my first job after getting back from Mexico, where I was a co-host on a TV station and worked in a Sears and did a bunch of stuff. But my first real job in the U.S. at, I don't even think I was 16. I think they had to fudge to get me the job, even the people I worked for. But it was Save-On Drugs. And I was a cashier. And boy, was that ever a miserable job. We were union. They took money out of my every paycheck for the union. And according to the union, we had, I think it was like 2 10-minute breaks and a 1 hour lunch in our 8 hour shift. I didn't work there very long, but I remember looking at the clock. And back then, nowadays, there's no clocks anywhere. Have you noticed that? Those of you who are older, because everybody's got a phone. But back then, there was a big clock on the wall, just like you would have in a classroom, the big clock up there. And I would be standing there at the cash register, checking people out. And I would go, oh my gosh, how long till my break? And my break, let's say my break was at 10:30, and it would be 10 o'clock. And an hour would go by, I'd look up, it'd be 10:15. All right, that one I can't really attribute necessarily to the changing velocity of time. I think I can just attribute that to the fact that standing there and doing a job that I did not enjoy felt like an interminable amount of time. So I can't really speak to that one where it feels like a huge amount of time has passed. You looked up and it's very little time has passed. But I can definitely speak to the one where it feels like lots of time has passed. You look up and very little time has passed inexplicably. It's not like you were having fun. You're just living your life. You're just doing stuff. And you look up and or look at the clock or look at the time and it's not correct. Couldn't possibly be that 1 hour only took 10, 15 minutes. And then the minute you recognize it, I don't know about the minute you recognize it, but once you recognize it, it does not continue. It's not like you then can just have a wonderful day where time slows down and you can get a ton of stuff done, because boom, it just fast forwards and constricts. And that time doesn't go very fast after that. And then it gets back to normal. So I've had that happen, I don't know, more times than I can count. And when I've talked to other people, they've said, you know, I have had that feeling. Now, here's where I think this is very interesting. So we have that feeling, and what do we say? Do we say to other people, yeah, no, I just had the weirdest experience. No, we don't say it. We just think to ourselves, that was weird. Or what just happened? I don't know. But we don't talk to other people because, well, it's impossible, right? Time flows at a steady pace. And if I just had a little blip, it must be me. It can't be reality. And so very rarely do people talk about this experience with one another. And yet when I've run this past people, they've said, you know, I have had that feeling. And I've said, have you ever told anybody about it? No. Never mentioned it to anybody, but yeah, now that you mention it, I've felt that before. It's happened to me. So I'm wondering how much of our experience of time, it seems pretty consistent, pretty constant, but it seems to me that most of us, if not all of us, have had this experience of time doing something kind of weird and sort of I don't want to say unnatural, but unexpected or unusual or not your typical thing. So if that has happened to you, can you drop me a line? I'm just curious. I'm going to toss this out to listeners, 877-536-1360. If you want to just drop me a quick text and let me know, have you ever experienced it? And if you haven't, drop me a text and go, nope, never have. Don't know what you're talking about. And if you have, go ahead and tell me, hey, I think I did have that. All right. So I'm going to continue reading this this study from Leiden University. All right. And yet for more than a century, physics has struggled to say what time actually is. This struggle is not philosophical nitpicking. It sits at the heart of some of the deepest problems in science. Modern physics relies on different but equally important frameworks. One is Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity, which describes the gravity and motion of large objects, such as planets. And on an even larger scale, the Standard Model of Cosmology describes the birth and evolution of the universe as a whole. All of these rely on time, yet they treat it in incompatible ways. When physicists try to combine these theories into a single framework, time often behaves in unexpected and troubling ways. Sometimes it stretches, sometimes it slows, sometimes it disappears entirely. Okay, weird. So this is, all of the Einsteinian physics that if you're traveling at the speed of light or if you're doing various things, that time isn't what you expect. This has made its way into our science fiction in that when people are on a spaceship and they're zipping around and they're moving at fast paces, time travels for them zipping around at a different rate than it does for the people they've left behind on Earth. And in science fiction, you'll have people out in their spaceships traveling at hyperspeed or whatever they're doing, and they get back home only to discover that all of their loved ones and all the people that they knew on Earth have long since passed away, because what they experienced as 5 years in outer space, the Earth experienced as, 150 years here on Earth, for example. So this idea that when you are moving at different rates, when you're doing different things, when you're experiencing other aspects of physical reality, that time is different for different states of physical physics experience. Okay, let me go on. Einstein's theory of relativity was, in fact, the first major blow to our everyday intuition about time. Time, Einstein showed, is not universal. It runs at different speeds depending on gravity and motion. Two observers moving relative to one another will disagree about which events happened at the same time. Time became something elastic, woven together with space into a four-dimensional fabric called space-time. Quantum mechanics makes things even stranger. In quantum theory, time is not something the theory explains. It is simply assumed. The equations of quantum mechanics describe how systems evolve with respect to time, but time itself remains an external parameter, a background clock that sits outside the theory. This mismatch becomes acute when physicists try to describe gravity at the quantum level, which is crucial for developing the much coveted theory of everything, which we don't yet have. That theory of everything they're trying to develop would link the main fundamental theories together. But as of our current understanding of physics, those separate realities of time don't link together. They're incompatible with each other. So we're still trying to figure that part out. In many attempts to create a universal theory of everything, time vanishes as a parameter from the fundamental equations altogether. The universe appears frozen, described by equations that make no reference to change. All right, so what is time? Let's think about this. That's a pretty good description right there. Change. Time is change. That's what it is. Your heart beats. Each beat of your heart is a different state of your heart. Your heart's changing, and it's changing through time. The sun comes up, and it moves across the sky. And for as long as there has been human history, we have been measuring time on the basis of the movement of the sun across the sky or the moon. We've measured the days and the months by the moon's movement and changing from full to new moon to back and forth. And we've been measuring the hours of the day, you know, prior to clocks. We had sundials. And what were they measuring? The movement of the sun. So time is movement. But when you strip out time, the movement seems to go away. All right, I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Very interested to know if anybody else has experienced that strange changing of time. All right, you can write to me also in my chat room at catherine-albrecht.com. Join me there. All right, be right back.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Our city strong, we're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace. All the trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always. Trust in the Lord always. Trust in the Lord always. For the Lord God is the eternal rock.
I am back. Catherine Albrecht here, talking about time and this weird realization, I guess, or this weird discovery that humanity is making, that time is a little more complicated than we think, than we thought. I tossed the question out there. Thank you to David for writing in. He says, let's see. I've had 10 hours go by in what might have been a half an hour. That's even more extreme than what I've experienced. And it seems like the general pace has been increasing lately. You know, that reminds me of something else, that as a child, do you remember when you were a kid waiting for Christmas? Oh my gosh, it took an eternity, or your birthday, or really any event that was coming up. It seemed like time was interminable. It took forever. And yet now it feels like Christmas comes and goes in a flash. Now that is, psychologists have attempted to explain that by saying that when you're a kid, everything's new. And so the newness of your life experiences makes them take more time. And when you get older, things are not new and they rush by at a quicker pace because you're not really paying attention to them all as new. And I can attest to that because when I've traveled in other locations, other countries, other places, time goes by and it feels as though the time is taking longer. If you spend 3 or 4 days in, Morocco or Zambia or, someplace you've never been before that's a completely foreign environment with totally different experiences, then the time and hours spent in a bazaar in Morocco walking through all the sights and smells and things to purchase and the things you see feels like a lot more time than an hour spent surfing the YouTube shorts on your phone, because that'll just fly by and it's as though an hour hasn't passed. It's as though no time has passed at all because you haven't really done anything new or interesting in that time. The same experience, like the hour that I would spend standing as a cashier waiting for my break in Save-On was pretty boring. There was not really much to see, think, or do that was new or interesting. And so that time, I just said the opposite, didn't I? That time seemed to go really slow. But our experience, what we're experiencing, time can seem to go very slow if we're bored out of our minds wanting the time to go fast. And time can seem to go up more slowly when we're experiencing things we've never experienced before. So being a cashier, I'm experiencing pretty much nothing. That's boring. And going to a foreign country and exploring, well, that's cool. It feels like you really are getting a different experience and your time is sort of expanding. So I don't know. Just in my experience, it comes, it goes, it expands, it flows. It's not a steady, constant thing. You ever had a day where it feels like the day just flew by and you're like, what did I even do today? What even happened? The sun's already going down. How in the world did this day fly by? And other days, especially days when you're waiting for something, you're, like looking at the clock. Hopefully you don't have that kind of job. All right, I want to read you some scripture about time because I've been thinking about what does God have to say about time? If he exists outside of time and space, and yet he has created us to live in this world where the sun rises and sets, the seasons come and go. He created a constant flow of events by which we could measure time. And so he wants us to experience time. Otherwise, he would have put us in some kind of quantum, some kind of other physical reality in which we would be experiencing something different. So what does God have to say about time? Let me read you. I've got, I'm on 100 Bible verses about time. This is from openbible.info. I'm just going to read you a couple of these because I thought they were interesting. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Right? That means, and there's lots of things in the Bible that say, pay attention to your time. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. Use it wisely. Use it thoughtfully, because there's a couple other passages in here that I will be getting to, but because the days are evil, that's one reason. The, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So what seems to us to be an interminably long span of time to God is a blink. And what to us seems like a blink to God is an interminably long span of time. All right, here's another one. It's Ephesians 5:16. These are the words of Paul in the New Testament. "Making the best use of the time because the days are evil." Use your time well. Skip down some of these. All right, here's one. James 4:14, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Right? So it may seem as though our life here is never going to end, like it's going to last a long time. Even as we get older, we continue to feel like, hey, yeah, unless you're, like in your 90s and realizing it is coming to an end. I think the feeling of having lots of time is pretty universal because we're here and we do. And that's one of the reasons why we waste time. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Another one, Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. All right, now, how does this tie in to what I was talking about yesterday? Well, yesterday I was talking about wasting time and not feeling guilty about wasting time because the tech bros, I don't know what to say, the powers that be, the capitalist, I believe me, I'm not in favor of any other system, but the capitalist mindset of extract as much money as possible as you can from other people tends to ensnare us and enslave us in time-wasting activities. And I just recorded one of those vignettes that comes up at the beginning of the show on spending time watching or binge watching Netflix and Hulu and other programs that are on a screen. And we've all done it. Well, I don't know if all of us have done it, but most of us have done it, where you've got a day free and there's not much else to do. And you watch a show and it's interesting. And then you watch the next one and then you realize there's a whole series and you sit there and watch the whole series, and before you know it, your day is gone, and you have really nothing to show for it. So this is all tying back to my new website, realisgood.org, and the need that we all have to focus on what is real, because the truth is that we do not have unlimited amounts of time. No matter how we're experiencing it or whatever is happening, the Lord, the Bible, Scripture, tells us to use our time wisely. And God put us here to be experiencing time the way we are. I've also talked about this in regard to quantum physics and other things like that, that the Bible tells us that in the end days, in the last days, people will run to and fro and knowledge will be greatly increased. And as I've said before, I've always thought that that meant scientific knowledge, technology, people's awareness of scientific facts, that that would all be greatly increased. But I think what is really being greatly increased in these last days is an awareness of the actual fabric of reality itself, and that is shifting. All right, couple more scriptures here. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Ecclesiastes, of course, goes into great detail. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. You might have heard the song, for everything, there is a season. Turn, 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 a time to be born, a time to die. That one is Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. And here's what it says. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. So in that list, though, I don't see a time to stare at your phone for 6 hours watching YouTube videos, right? It's just not in there. In fact, the Bible is full of lots of reminders or commands, as it were, to not waste your time, especially when the days are evil, because evil days would love for us to waste our time. And evil days call for us to be alert, be vigilant, be aware, and know about time. All right, so that was just one thing on my mind. I found it very interesting that the whole question of the nature of reality, which has been on my mind a lot lately, was in the headlines today with this story about time. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about how difficult it is to find a writer, a designer, a graphic artist who does not use artificial intelligence. Yeah, it's kind of my summary thought here. All right, I'll tell you about that when I come back. Stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Hey, I'm back. That's Project of Love, that beautiful music there, and that is 100% scripture. Speaking of scripture, I want to read something to you. After Noah's Ark, after the flood that destroyed humanity, God said this, all right? Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. This is, I'll go back, this is in Genesis 8. So Noah came out along with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. Every living creature, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves upon the earth came out of the ark, kind by kind. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking from every kind of clean animal and clean bird, he offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man." even though every inclination of his heart is evil from his youth, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. All right. And this part is kind of indented like a little poem here. It says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. And I'm rereading the Bible and having a very different experience in reading it this time around than I've ever had before. And this particular passage, as I was, a month or two ago rereading Genesis, this one stood out to me as the consistency, the constancy of these things. Think about it. Even physicists can't argue against this, that seed time and harvest, we don't have to think much about it because most of us aren't planting gardens, but it's critical because it's through agriculture that we survive. We get the food we need to live. So seed time and harvest is actually a very important period of time on every single part of the globe that plants and reaps and makes our food. Cold and heat, well, we're experiencing record-breaking cold, and the summers have been experiencing record-breaking heat, but they're not flipping around. It's cold in the wintertime. It is warm in the summertime, even if that may be changing and becoming more extreme. Summer and winter, those certainly haven't changed. Day and night, not changed. Shall never cease. So the things by which we measure the passage of time are very constant and consistent, and God put them in place. The Psalm 104:19 says that God made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows its time for setting. He made the moon to mark the seasons. We know that because, well, nowadays, most people can't tell you, couldn't say whether the moon is full, whether it's a new moon, whether it's waxing or getting bigger, whether it's waning or getting smaller. Most people can't tell you where the moon is, what phase it's in. But that's a relatively new phenomenon because in the past, there was no artificial lighting at night and you really planned your evening events on the basis of how much light there was going to be in the sky. And so you knew when it was going to be a full moon because that's when there's lots of light outside. You ever look out your window, out your bedroom window when your lights are off and gone, gosh, it's really light outside? or ever look out your window and gone, gosh, it's really dark out there. All right. Well, that's the moon. And people in previous eras were paying very close attention to that and relying on it. And so the moon has about a 28-day cycle, I think. And so that is where we get our month, month meaning moon, M-O-N, moon, month, you know. That is this idea that we were measuring the passage of time based on these things that don't change. All right, got a couple other passages, and then I want to talk to you about what I said about AI. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. That is in Acts 1:7 from Paul. So completely, I don't know, God has a lot of things to say about time. And let's see, we got a text message coming in. This is from the 970 area code. Space station astronauts experience circadian rhythm challenges and time perception changes when they return to Earth. And that's from WK in Colorado. Yeah, if we are not, because time is connected to gravity, it's connected to being on this physical Earth, it's connected to so many different things. And I actually didn't think about that space station astronauts have a perception of time challenge when they come back. Thank you for that. I'm going to look that up. All right, the couple more. Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I don't know, the Bible doesn't make it entirely clear, but it seems to me that this notion of eternal life, this notion of no longer being bound by the laws of sin and death and being in bodies of death that are constantly leading towards or leading us towards corruption. This idea of eternal life, we are going to be existing in some very different sense of time and space. So it's interesting. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's because God exists outside of time. All right, let me talk about my challenge here. And I want to put out a request to everyone listening to the show. Do you know any writer or graphic artist or designer or web person or photographer? Well, I got a photographer, my daughter. But do you know any person out there who not only doesn't use AI, but opposes it in their core? I've been writing to people. I'm trying to find a graphic artist because I want to get back on YouTube and I want a nice little opening screen. And I need business cards and I would like to get my website, realisgood.org and Catherine-Albrecht.com. I'd like to get them both cleaned up and snazzed. And I'd love to find a graphic artist, but I can't find anybody who won't use AI at all. And I finally got it down to, this has nothing to do with time, by the way. I just wanted to get it in today's show. I finally figured out what I'm looking for. And what I'm looking for is this. You can find writers who will say, I only use AI. I don't know. There's certain websites that will give you a little symbol or a little seal of approval. You can put on your website that you're AI free. And in order to get the symbol, you have to only use 10% AI and 90% not AI. Okay, and I've seen a couple of those where they allow AI use to a certain extent. Now, all of those turn my stomach, and I figured out today why. It would be as though for a designer to hand me a design that was only 10% AI, or a writer to help me do some writing that was only 10% AI, would be the equivalent of going to a restaurant where the chef gave me a plate that was only 10% dog poo. That's what I figured out. So putting it in those terms helped me so much because it's very hard to explain to people, I don't want 90% of your writing and 10% AI. I don't want 98% your writing and 2% AI. If you put any AI in there at all, in anything you design or write or hand to me, and AI has touched it in any way, it's disgusting to me, and I don't want it. And there is, ask yourself, what amount of dog poo can go into a recipe, let's say a spaghetti sauce, for you to think it's acceptable? 10%? Heck no. 2%? Uh-uh. 1%? No. How about none? If the spoon that is stirring the spaghetti, and it's a big pot, has touched dog poo, just touched it. Do you want it in your spaghetti? Of course not. That's disgusting. All right, that I just realized today, and it was very helpful when I realized it. That's my level of disgust for AI in anything coming in.